And here we go.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts...
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Another week. You bet your sweet bippy kids. I've got some great guests tonight, including our regulars. We're going to go down to Las Vegas right now, and we're going to talk to a guy that I've known in excess of 20 years. I thought about this today. Believe it or not, it's about 22 years. And we were in competition with each other. Well, actually, it wasn't competition because he was at all of the big things and doing the greatest stars and all that kind of stuff back then. Everybody knew of him. And he went from that to doing theaters and producing shows, like I said, to where he is today. And I've got to tell you, I was so impressed that I'm thinking very seriously, because I'm going to be down there tomorrow to meet him and possibly getting in business with him. His name is Angelo, and he's from G Armor. Okay, it's that simple. You can go to his website, Garmor, GARMOR.US, and see what we're talking about. He's the first guest with us tonight, and he's got his son with him, Jacob. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet, but I'm going to. He's part of our family, and you're going to be excited for what he does, and you're going to say to yourself, wow. You know, everybody has thought of things like this, but nobody gets into them except for people like him. He owns a company called Garmor Land, Air, and Sea. I love his statement of where he says they maximize the synergy between design, manufacturing, and sale of armored vehicles. And when you go to the website, you're going to see this. You're going to see on the top the vehicles that they do, the photo gallery of what they've got. And you're going to look at that, and you're going to say, holy jeez. You know, these are the cars that you know, hold presidents, senators, heads of state, generals, things of this nature. And, of course, big-time people who have a lot of money that, you know, people get envious today. You know the story. We've gone through it. I've gone through it for the last 50 years that I've been on the King of the Mountain. And at the same point in time. But the thing that blew my mind is when I got into this and I found out that they repurposed a lot of the stuff of the Humvees that were during the different campaigns, and they use it in the vehicles today. He's going to get into all of that, okay? I'm just so happy that he's on with Jacob and what he's done, where he's gone to from one level to the top level now, and my God, he'll tell you, you know, who he builds for and what he doesn't build for and all that kind of stuff. So without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's go down there to Las Vegas and let's get Angelo on. Angie, you there?
I'm here, Tom. Thank you for the introduction. And Tom, there was nobody bigger than you at entertainment, so I learned from the best.
God bless you, man. God bless you, too. Yep. Coming from you means an awful lot, awful lot. And oh, by the way, I don't want enough people not know. After his segment, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have Sylvester on. He's with Bat Tactical. And I'm going to try to get these guys together because they kind of work in the same vein. But Sylvester has a great background. He used to be a professional wrestler. And he's going to get into that in his segment. But I don't want to take from Angelo because, Angelo, don't leave anything out. Take it from the beginning. Tell everybody around the globe how this whole thing came about and where you are today.
All right. So, you know, many, many years ago, I started out in entertainment. And used to have casinos and casino cruise ships. So we basically ran the casinos, the gaming part of it, the security part of it, food and beverage part of it, and then of course we have entertainment, and kind of got well versed in all of the departments. Sold the company several years later, and got strictly into the entertainment world, producing quite a few shows over the years, touring with Mark Anthony, Earth, Wind and Fire, Jersey Boys, did all kinds of stuff. We had Lonnie Mr. Lucha, Voices, Fences, Spanish Guitar, Emmy Award-winning show called Spanish Guitar. And slowly faded out of that and got into almost like a hobby. It's a Humvee. And we started building Humvees, and then it turned into a real business. So basically, we take, old Humvees, 10 years old, 12 years old. They're from the DOD. Some of them are surplus. Some of them are shot up, beat up, blown up. We take them in, we drop them down to the frame, and rebuild them back up, bring them up to a ballistic six, and then resell them back to, Department of Defense and different agencies and what have you all over the world. So quite a few of them were in Ukraine in the beginning of the Ukrainian World War. And then we graduated from there. We're still doing the Humvees, but we graduated into our APCs. We have an X3, which is an APC X5. X5 is a 5-door, and 3 is a 3-door. We're getting ready to introduce the X4T, which is a truck version. You can take IEDs and hand grenades and explosives, and we build them with 7.62 caliber for the Defense Department. They're for police or SWAT. Or violent crime units, we build them up to a 50 caliber ball, and these are really nice, secure bunkers on wheels, is what I call it. So, hey Tom, I don't know if you realize this. You said something about my synergy quote, but my old synergy was maximize the synergy of gaming, entertainment, music, and film, and I wanted to kind of follow that right into the armored business. With the, the maximizing of the manufacturing and sale, design and sale.
I love that. I love it. I love it.
I kind of brought my old life into the new life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and you did, for crying out loud. But people are at the edge of their chair right now. Slugging down a beer or a Coke or eating a sandwich or whatever, having them turkey wings down there, down in the South, and they're saying, "Well, get into the. Tell us about the armor."
Yeah, so it's a changing world, right? It's a dangerous world out there. So, we sell to, obviously law enforcement, DOD, different agencies, and then civilians, CEOs, civilians, preppers, collectors, the guy that has 10 cars in his garage and wants this as a collector because it's super cool, So there's a little bit of everybody. We have a little bit of everybody that likes these vehicles and wants these vehicles. We're starting a dealer network right now where we're starting to put them into dealerships, where dealerships can actually start selling our vehicles. Another part of our company is, and we just launched this, is where we have a on-site armoring business where police departments, most police departments, their cars aren't, their patrol cars aren't armored. So we're going out there and offering on-site armoring where we bring the armoring packages to them. We customize to whatever it is. If it's a Ford Explorer, we'll customize the armor to those doors and the glass. We do NIJ 3A, AK-47 on down, handgun, and start giving them some protection. But, we can complete 2 cars a day at any location. So if somebody gives us 60, 70 cars, we're in there for, a month, and we're knocking out all their cars. So that's what we're doing.
The only company that I know of. Yeah. So you're the one that created this idea, and there's nobody out there. You got no competition, do you?
None that I know of. I mean, we did a lot of research, but there's nobody that comes to you to armor your vehicle and get it done in a day.
That's the point that I'm trying to bring out, Angela, because to me, that is so essential, especially for our cops on the front line. And I want you to know something. My connection with the Ho family, H-O, and I'm not, no disrespect, ladies and gentlemen, not the girls that walk the street. Their last name is Ho, H-O, and they're two brothers. They're two titans when I met them. But the majority of the guys that worked for him and that trained with him and for him are cops from different precincts and different cities. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh my God, you know, how they both can intertwine. You now, especially you going out to, well, didn't you tell me Frontana or someplace you guys were going to be going?
Yeah, we just got done armoring the Fontana's Rook vehicle. I'm sorry, we just got done putting camera system in the Rook. We're working on a medical unit, taking their old Bearcat, turning it into a on-site, kind of like a surgery room. Be the first of its kind in the country. They're implementing that, and we're glad to be part of it. You know, armoring the patrol cars, and we're delivering them in November their new SWAT unit. So very excited about that as well. You know, one thing about our vehicles, especially our SWAT units, our APCs, X5s, X3s, you know, we do a little bit different than most companies out there that build, you know, armored vehicles for 40, 50 years. We listen to the boots on the ground. We listen to the law enforcement personnel, the guys using the vehicles on a day-to-day basis, out in the war zone, what have you. We talk to them. We find out what they've been through, what they think they're going to go through, what they're going through today, what they see as the future. I'll give you an example. Ukraine started out as an infantry war. You know, then it turned into a chemical war where they were dropping chemicals on these guys. So, you know, you got to put chemical scrubbers in these vehicles. You got to lock them down where you keep all that the chemical out of the vehicle and protect the guys inside the truck, right? The people. So we adapted to that. Then we adapted where, you know, the blast is the biggest thing. So, you know, when they go over a mine or an IED, you know, the blast, you know, concussions and limbs and what have you, people are getting hurt, right? So we came up with a system where we put these blast chambers in these vehicles, and the blast chamber actually takes about 62% of the blast through the vehicle versus onto, you know, a flat surface underneath. So double hull, typical hull. So a lot of things. It's a one-piece hull build. It's a capsule build. You know, up armor where we have a double plate armor. You know, the other thing we do, like for law enforcement, as an example, we really work hard on angles and what happens to a bullet. So let's say law enforcement gets called out to a neighborhood, they're pinned down, it's a domestic violent case, and somebody comes out shooting. They shoot that vehicle. That bullet's going two houses down. It's going to kill an 8-year-old boy, right? Or strike an 8-year-old boy, let's say. You know, we think about that kind of stuff. So we have the second plate where it absorbs the shot, breaks up the bullet, and allows it to disintegrate before it actually ricochets somewhere else. And that's the things we do a little bit different and think about. So the blast chambers, the chemical scrubbers, the up armoring. We have these plates that absorb. Have the capabilities of taking the same vehicle and turn it into a 50 caliber, that kind of thing. So, but we really listen to the people using the vehicle, and we get their feedback, and then we just keep building to what they need in the field. So another example real quick, and I'll end with this so you can talk, Tom, is, as an example, in a war zone, you know, it's usually an infantry war. They're defending a territory or a province. Let's say they secure it. They pull down the fort. Now they have it. They secure it. That same vehicle now becomes a patrol vehicle, right, or a command vehicle. Now let's say the people come back, like the Gaza Strip, the people are starting to come back, right? Well, what happens? Now you're policing the people in that village or that city or that province, right? So, yep. You know, these are different vehicles, right? So what we do is we actually build a vehicle that can do all of those tasks all out of one vehicle and adapt. That's we're big about adapting to the environment and to what is going on in the field at that time.
Adapting to the situation. I love it. I love it. And you're on. You got your fingers on the pulse. Listen, we got to pay some bills, ladies and gentlemen. On the other side of the commercial, I've got 17 questions from people that have emailed me and texted me right now, and I'm going to ask Angelo if that's okay, Angelo. So let's go to commercial, pay some bills. On the other side, Angelo is still with us. Go ahead, Jimmy.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is. He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something, man.
Come on over to our website at www.searchingforbigfoot.com, where you can get up on the news with the organization, check out our movies, see our products, information about our show, contact our host, Tom Biscardi, or any other number of things. That's on our website at www.searchingforbigfoot.com. Back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Jimmy. And by the way, I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it just jumped up. I've got 36 inquiries that they all want to ask questions of Angelo. Ladies and gentlemen around the globe, we're talking to Angelo. He's the, I'm going to call him the CEO and founder of G Armor. He's probably one of the most creative men I've ever met in my life. And I'm so proud of him because it's now going on, give or take a few years. It'll be a quarter of a century. God, I'm just so damn proud of him and where he's gone and where he's at today. Well, without any further ado, we're going to get back to Angelo down there in Las Vegas. And, Angelo, you there?
I am here. Jacob,
okay,
let me
shoot some of these questions if I can to
sure.
you. Really. They're, this is from Louise. Louise is from Illinois, and she wants to know, how long does it take to build a Humvee with all of its armor and protective glass?
So a Humvee, a ballistic six, we can do in about 8 weeks. So if we build it with no customizations, just the way we build them, which is fairly loaded, it'd be about 8 weeks.
Okay. I hope you heard that, young lady. And now here's a guy from Texas. He says to me, Tom, ask Angelo, he says, has he ever done a Denali or a Suburban with the back door that opens and there's a 50 caliber that they put in there to get the people at a following where they're shooting at them? Have you ever done that?
No, we do build Suburbans. We build Cadillac Escalades, Tahoes,
but nothing with a .50 caliber coming out of the back of the Suburban. We do build for the State Department, the for embassies, and then, of course, the private sector. But no, not a .50 caliber. Now, we do have, and I think there's some pictures on our website, which is www.garmor.us, of a .50 caliber on top of one of our Humvees from last year. So, anyway, but no, we
okay,
do
so
do,
here,
we do build.
And, well, now you got your question answered there, Mr. Texas. And here's one from Georgia, okay? And they want to know, are all tires bulletproof, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Georgia, you got your answer there. I think I would have gone into a little bit more depth saying that, you know, they have bullet-piercing armor bullets, don't they?
They do. So when it does penetrate the vehicle or the tire, there's two types of bulletproof tires. So there's ones that they run, they have a hole in it, and they just never go flat, right? They're ballistic. And then there's another one that's self-sealing. We use the self-sealing on most of our products.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're hearing this because I'm amazed, and these are some of the questions I would have asked myself. I mean, who would have ever thought that tires are bulletproof? But the reason is they've got, you know, self-sealing and all that kind of stuff. This is just amazing stuff. Here's a person from Maine. They want to know if they wanted to have one of their vehicles converted to what you're doing now, what's the average cost?
Depending on the vehicle, but probably do it at roughly $60,000. And we're getting ready to set up a dealer up in Rhode Island, New York area right now. Actually, we're with those people right now as we speak to set up the deal. But yes,
so by
about
the $60,000. So you're going to copycat you all over the country, around the world.
That's correct. We're opening up G-Armor dealerships within other dealerships, so G-Armor products within the larger dealerships around the country.
Wow, that is phenomenal. All right, let's go. We got one more, and I'm running late, but I'm glad we're running late because this is so informative, and these questions are coming in like crazy, okay? So here's one from a guy. He says, have you gotten into a difficult point in time in any of the vehicles that you just couldn't armor it to the way you wanted? And this is from Bill, and Bill is in, Bill, I hope I'm saying this right, Brainerd, Minnesota.
The answer is yes. So it's been on our mind for many years, well, since COVID, because we're big RVers, my wife and I. And quick story, we were up at Mount Charleston, and can you hear me, Tom?
Loud and clear.
Okay. We're up from Mount Charleston. We missed the cutoff time to get into the little RV thing. We had a park on the side there about 50 yards off the road. And in the middle of the night, somebody came up the mountain and they started shooting into the woods. My wife and I ended up on the floor near the bathroom. The car came back around, started shooting again. It was just random, probably kids just being stupid. So ever since then, it's been in my mind to armor a motorhome. So I attempted it on a Sprinter 3500 to get it to a ballistic 6. It was just too heavy. So we ended up taking that vehicle. It became a surveillance vehicle for the State Department. So now we just entered a deal with a company called Wingham out of Italy. And they're like the number one, 50 years building motorhomes. They're incredible craftsmanship. And we are integrating armor into their vehicles, a light armor system. And we're introducing it late January, and we'll be exclusive to them. They'll be exclusive to us. And I picked them because they're one of the best motorhome builders in the country on a small platform. So,
wow.
But the answer, okay. You know, I hope that helps answer the question.
Yeah, okay. And I got one more, and then I'm going to have to go on to our next guest. And I didn't know about this, but you should. They said... This is from Dolores. Dolores is in Idaho, and she says, Mr. B, can you ask Angelo, does he know that Dominic Chianese is not dead?
Dominic Chianese?
Yeah.
Dominic Chianese was my uncle that worked at Grumman's. And,
is that the same one from The Sopranos?
Oh, that Dominic. No, no, no. Okay, wrong guy. But, yeah, I don't know how to answer that question, but I have a family member named that as well, same name. But, no, the one from The Sopranos is not related to us.
Okay, because she's saying, I don't know whether, is it on your website somewhere?
Yeah, we have watches that are Humvee watches that we sell online, and they're basically one of them is dedicated to my uncle because he's the guy that actually started the Tomcat. He designed the Tomcat, built the Tomcat straight through. When I was a kid, I got to sit in it because back then they didn't have all these, you know, clearances and what have you. And then he went on to the AWACS and then the Predator, and then he passed away. So I dedicated that to him because we're kind of in the same field, you know? The, protecting, service sector.
That's phenomenal.
So listen,
okay.
Tom, I want to say this quickly. Anybody in the audience that has any questions, they can email us at info@garmer.com, and I will answer each and every question that everybody has personally. So if they want to send over any questions they have, I'll be more than happy to continue this.
Tell them again where.
Just go to info@garmor.us. And Jacob, can you tell them our social media real quick?
Yes. So our social media on all platforms is going to be at GArmor Vehicles, GARMOR, and then Vehicles. And that will be on all platforms.
Fantastic.
We're getting ready to introduce that motorhome on our platforms, I think today or tomorrow, actually. And really excited about that vehicle as well.
Well, let me ask you, since we're having dinner tomorrow night and I'm going to be there for a few days, will I get a chance to see it in person?
Not the motorhome, but you'll be able to see other armored vehicles in person.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Listen, God bless you. Thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are. Jacob, can't wait to meet you on the 20th. Gentlemen,
yeah.
He's one hell of a guy. And like you said, you know, give him a shout out again at what the info thing is.
info@garmor.us, GARMOR.US.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys. You can mute yourself out and listen to the rest of the show if you'd like. Love to have you. And, I'll see you tomorrow night, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, a good true friend, another paisan, and his word is his bond, just like mine is, Angelo, and his son, Jacob. But, boy, these guys are going places, and they're moving quick. So if you have any questions, you want to get something done, get in touch with them. And I told you where to go, you know, Garmor, GARMOR.US. And you can see everything he's got there and everything else. Without any further ado, we're going to just turn the page, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to go, my newfound friend, I call him Sly. His name is Sylvester. He's with Bat Tactical. That's right, Bat Tactical. And these are the guys, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God, they've got security. They've got training courses. They got CCWs, the concealed. All these questions that you people have asked me, okay, is there any reliable place that we can go to? Well, this guy's got the answers, okay? He's got all the training courses, the people that they work with, all the different police departments, the firearms and medical, concealed carry course, emergency vehicle operator course, firearm training deals, long-range rifles, whole nine yards. Without any further ado, let's get my buddy. Sly, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm right here. How y'all doing?
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. Isn't that Angelo? Isn't that some incredible stuff that they're doing?
I mean, wonderful stuff. I mean, wow. I mean, we're going to have to touch bases with them and get in together because, it had my ears wide open.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's why when I met you guys, I says, oh, I can't believe it how... You know, it's like hand in glove.
Exactly.
It's hand in glove, you know? So before you get into your soliloquy, I want to tell everybody, ladies and gentlemen, Sly used to be, Sylvester, excuse me, used to be a professional wrestler, and his father was also a legendary guy. And you guys didn't know it, but I used to manage a guy named Kenji Shibuya. He was the guy that was in Sly. What was the 007 film where he had the hat?
Goldfinger?
Yeah, that's it. What a memory you got, man. So I was his manager, went to Japan with him and all that, got into that industry for a while, and who knew that I'd meet Sly and the two brothers, who are two monoliths, two titans of the Asian persuasion, and they built this thing. They're on 40 acres of land in Livermore, ladies and gentlemen, and they've got the whole thing out there. But Sly is going to tell you the whole story on how this thing came about, where they are today, all the fire departments, all the police departments that they work along with. And here's the thing that's the clincher. And I happen to be one of those people. I carry a CCW in a different non-resident state, yes, but I can't get one in my own state because it's a blue state. Yeah, you guys all know that. Well, I'm just going to say it, okay? You know the guy named New Scum? Well, he won and all that bullshit. And for how long, I don't know. And I guess he's going to run for president. And if anybody picks this guy, then I know the world's going to come to an end. But never, who cares?
That's funny.
You know, I've got to go on. I don't want to get into politics because if I can't go there, that's really going to piss me off even worse. But nevertheless, we got Sly on the phone. Tell us everything about Back Tactical. Go ahead. You got the floor.
Well, Back Tactical is what we are armor that teaches people how to bear arms, which a lot of our trainers come from the military background, which are snipers. You have the, oh my God, I'm getting brain fart now. You have the snipers, you have Navy SEALs, you have a lot of the police department, sheriff, task force, and then we have where 40 acres is where a lot of them do their training, their practicing. We have set up for such emergency for a hostage held up where they have practice of going in to be able to subdue and control the environment of where they're at of such thing like this happens. And we have ranges of rifle, pistol. You have the training of being able to teach safety and as well as being able to do for if a person has accidentally shot themselves, you teach them of how to be able to bandage and stuff of that nature. And then for the acres, they have cabins where you're able to go and stay if you want to go up there and stay to start practicing and training the tacticals for not just survival, but for first aid of how
Sly,
to...
Hold on just one second, please. Whoever's coughing, give us the courtesy, please, of muting yourself out. I've gone through this now for 33 minutes, and Jim, I thought you took care of this. I know that you told them, but I don't know who this person is. You control the board. But please, you know, we love having you. You have a cold and stuff. We're not going to get your disease. We're not going to catch your damn cold. But give us the courtesy of muting yourself out, would you please? Go ahead, Sly.
Well, the way it all started, the two brothers, which is Dennis, which is the oldest, and Norman, their last name are Ho. No offense to anyone, but they're Asian. And they came together as of learning because they came from backgrounds of not only military, but FBI agency and stuff in this nature. And so being that the father was a fire department and the grandfather was a fire department, his father was also into the FBI, they decided to say, okay, well, you know, let's take what we know and bring it out here for people that want to learn how to protect it, that want to learn how to carry a gun or how to shoot a rifle or a shotgun. Or if they just want to learn how to hunt. So you have the courses of being able to learn how to be able to carry a concealed weapon. So that's what the CCW is for. and you have the three different stages of what you have to go through to learn in these things on all stages of pistols, rifle, and shotgun. And then you have the same three stages that you'll be going through when it comes to first aid. First, your basic first aid, then learning how CPR and all these other things that goes along with it. Then you have the survival first aid, which is learning that if when you're out in the woods hunting, if something happened that you have to try to get back to civilization if you don't have no way of getting in contact with anyone. All these training and learning that you would need to survive in life itself. It's part of being able to say, I can help myself and my family as well as protect them. And so that's what they're known for and what we do. We have different trainers. We have one which is a police officer, but he also had been into the military. And we have another that was a Navy SEAL, which was a sniper. And we have other which is with the task force. And so all of them, it's at least six, but I'm just giving you three right now. And then with all of them, they teach you how to shoot the instant sniper within 1,000 range of or more. It depends on what are you aiming or where you're shooting for. And they teach you how to sight in your rifles, how to unload and load each rifle, pistol, shotgun, how to be able to carry it safely, and then knowing how to lock it up away from family members, as of children and everything. And it's just, yes, it's a lot to it. But, I mean, it's fun. People come out by the droves because they want to know. And I feel that right now, I mean, with the things that I've learned about the armored cars and with us, with the weapons and all, I think that is a good combination.
Oh, you bet. You bet. But you know what? I got to tell you something. I love the part that you said, Sly, was the bit about having, you know, make it fun, okay? Safety is number one, of course. The thing that you didn't bring out, which I was hoping you would, but I'm going to nudge you a little bit, was about the tomahawks.
About
the steaks, brother, the tomahawk steaks.
Steaks?
The steaks, you know, the meat.
Yeah, well, I mean, what they do is every so often we'll have a big cookout, and I'm talking about, that's why you call them the Titan Brothers, because we have a big cookout. And the cookout is tomahawk steaks. They have the ribs. They have the shrimps. They have, I mean, it's just up here on these 4 acres, you have outdoor cooking. And what I'm telling you is that it's best. On this ranch, you're able to see all kind of wildlife. And that's the best part about it, is being able to get out there and see nature at its best. On this property, you see mountain lions, you see bobcats, you see deers, you see turkeys, you see hogs, you see, I mean, you name it, it's there. And then the best thing is, because you have the cabins, you're able to sit out there and watch them. After you've practiced and you decide you want to just spend the night there, you sit by a nice fire with your little drink or in your cigarette or cigar, and you watch the moon and listen to the coyotes as they talk to you in the night. I mean, this is the way you want to get away and just have fun. And that's the best part about it, is that you're able to have fun doing something you like and learning. Now,
you know,
those things...
I got to tell you, and thank you for that input, because a lot of our listeners are hunters, okay? A lot of our listeners are investigators, okay? They're researchers, all right? And this is their life. They love going out, okay? And especially when it comes to hunting. When I was talking to Norman this morning, when he called me, I was shocked. He says, Tom, don't worry about boar. You don't need a license because it's open season all year long. And then, oh, by the way, anytime there is season, we've got that game on our property.
Yeah. I mean, big 4-6 to almost 1,000-pound boar hogs. Big old.
Wow.
I mean, and they run through like it's no tomorrow. You can spot them. I, at me, myself, I get out there and I do a lot of turkey calls, and we have, and I, everybody said, you don't need no kind of tool or nothing to call turkeys. I said, no. I said, I'm a big old city country boy. And I tell them, I said, all it takes is knowing how. I said, I can call them right on in. You know, and they were like, wow, how do you do that, you know? And, I mean, you get a chance to see not just the big old hogs, but the deers. You see a lot of 6, 8, and 10-point big bucks running around there. I mean, and they're steady multiplying. And so we got one probably about 2 weeks ago, which was like 95 pounds of meat.
Wow.
I mean, wow. It's so beautiful. And like I said, if you love the outdoors and you love to hunt, you love guns of all sizes, then that's where you need to be. I mean,
and
because
you know what? That's where we're all gonna come. Okay, listen, we got to pay some more bills, ladies and gentlemen. On the other side, I'm gonna do the same thing with Sly. We're gonna take some of your questions, but we need to pay some bills. Jimmy, do your thing.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't even believe it was Bigfoot.
What's that clock again?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmargen, and a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced them I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something, man.
Back to you, Tom.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Sylvester. He's with Bat Tactical up here in San Francisco Bay Area. And the questions are coming through like crazy, just like they did with Angelo, with G. Armor. Here's a couple of questions off the top right here. Bobby, right here from California, wants to know, how easy is it to get a CCW?
Well, It's not exactly really easy, but it's kind of easy. It's being able to pass going through a lot of requirements of the state. And after that, you know, majority of it's going to be written, and then from there you go into your training of learning how to be able to carry a gun and unload, shoot. But, I mean, it depends on how easy and how fast they are of learning, more than less. It's okay. Not that hard, but, I mean, for some people it's difficult because they don't like to just focus in on a lot of things. They think they're supposed to just get it. But it's not just that easy to just go and get it. You have to put in the effort and everything to earn it. Because the state is going to put you through the test.
Well put. Here's Desiree from Santa Rosa. She says, Tom, can you ask Sylvester, from the time you fill out the papers to the time you go through the training, how long does it normally take?
Usually take between 2.5 weeks to More around 2.5 weeks, sometimes 3, but it's usually 2.5 weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you heard what he just said, because I went through a year, and I still haven't gotten mine. This is the second time. She also said with a P.S., what is a SB2 compliant?
I didn't hear that. What, say that again?
She said, on your website, it has a thing with the Bay Area's official CCW vendor, in parentheses, S Sam Bravo 2 compliant.
That's part of, that's dealing with the state. A lot of, and with the people, like I say, with the owners, the whole family, they have the connections and all with all the topper officials of police, sheriff, and so with when the things are spilled out and come across the desk with them and then they send it in, a lot of times when they see that you're qualified, your qualifications, then it's more faster to get everything certified and sent back to you.
That's phenomenal. This is just, it's blowing my mind. There's so many questions here, but I'm going to have them all funnel them to you guys at the office. I want to go to my in-house audience and see what kind of questions they got. Jim, you there?
I am, Tom.
You got any questions for Sylvester?
Well, actually, no, I don't. I think he's done a great job of explaining what they do. You know, here in Arkansas, we have constitutional carry, so we have no need for licensing whatsoever, both concealed carry or open carry. It's all constitutional carry here, so it doesn't implore you to go ask any questions about it because you don't need one, you know. Anyway, I really do like what he does, and I think he's a wealth of information.
Yes, yes, he is. Sweet, are you still with us?
I am, Tom. I was just listening in here.
I know you have been. I know. This is phenomenal in the state of California. Did you hear that in Santa Rosa? 2 to 3 weeks to get the CCW, okay? And what they do, I mean, between all the courses, the firearms, the medical, the emergency vehicle course with vehicles, I mean, it's everything you want, you know? It's everything you want. And all, like you said, pistols to long rifles to all the other kind of guns that they've got out there and shotguns, and it's happening. And these guys are doing it. No wonder why. And, you know, we had Angelo earlier with the armored vehicles. What'd you think of that?
Well, that's really cool. I love the, you know, I don't know what anybody really gets the clue on that, the average Joe, but when you're talking about stopping a 50 caliber ball round, that's some impressive stopping.
Yeah.
That it is.
Put a hole through something at 2 miles, and it's like shooting it, you know, at 100 yards with an .06. It's like, it's just amazing horsepower there. And for this mega vehicle to do that, I wanted to ask him about, you know, do they protect the powertrain and all that stuff? We'll get to that later. Sylvester, that whole thing with California, man, I got to say, big kahunas, man, that you guys are even getting that done. You know, Jeff Cooper had Gunsight. You're probably familiar with Gunsight. And you know, that was a big deal, and there was a lot of training and a lot of information shared. A lot of people don't have, you know, backgrounds where their grandfather or their father or their uncles or any of that gave them any kind of firearm training whatsoever, and they're blinded. The media just all to, you know, the gun is a bad thing, where the firearm is just another tool. It's just like you, your present ranch or whatever. You got to learn correctly, and all you guys are going at that full blast and making it fun, having a great experience in that too, like you were talking about the cabin, the downtime, reflecting, absorbing it helps with learning, that's for sure.
You know, the fun part about it is that we're starting to have more ladies now that are coming out, that are getting their CCWs and coming out to train with the rifles and pistols. That's shocking, because a lot of women says, I'm afraid to touch you, I don't want to. But people are thinking now how they need to be more aware of protecting themselves and their family as well as the men. And so that's why we're getting a lot of people coming out to take these courses.
It's wonderful. I encourage you all to keep going with it. Me and my wife have had our field carry since I got mine the second day after an Oklahoma City bombing. I was transporting dynamite for a construction company, and I decided at that point I better get one. So all that time, you know, and we re-up and we do it, and we know a lot of people that are like Jim was saying, you know, there's been transition to Arkansas where it's constitutional carry now. But if I travel to Oklahoma or say I go to Missouri or somewhere like that, you know, I'll need to be licensed up there in that fashion. But
correct.
You know what I mean. But that's a really cool facility. I wish you all the very best. I'm glad that you're doing it, and I'm sure you're changing and protecting more lives than you really know. With the ability to be educated in the firearm world is a good thing. Especially as crazy as the world is.
By the way, and Sly, Norman Ho saw your picture on the team, Swede, and he says, Tom, is that a V8 block that he's picked up? And I says, oh, yeah. Somebody at the shop there said, I'll bet you $200 that you can't lift that V8 block and put it on your shoulder. Or put it over your head. I remember the story goes.
That was one of those things. It was a great $200, but I paid for it for a couple of days.
So Sly, what I'm trying to tell you, this is my man, Mountain Dean, and believe me, when he's out in the brush, he knows his stuff. Not only that, our good brother Rocky is the only guy that was in a wrestling situation like you were in the whole arena, and he wrestled a grizzly bear and he won. He's alive to tell a story about it, and you can go.
Oh, wow.
What's the website that he can go to, Swede?
Go to YouTube and just go to Rocky's Bear Fight, and it'll pop right up.
Rocky's Bear Fight, yeah. So Rocky has been with me in 27 different states looking for Bigfoot, traveled over 100,000 miles with me. He was my sidekick forever, along with the Swede, and it's just an amazing story. But I'll tell you this, the Ho brothers invited us and the team to come out and stay at their lodge and have a field day with the boars. You heard what Sly said, 1,000-pounder. Biggest one I ever saw was about 350. But I'd love to see the mammoth 1,000-pounder.
Oh, yeah. You get out there and you'd be saying to yourself, oh, my God.
A lot of bacon.
I can't believe
it. A lot of bacon.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much. God bless you. I have to get to the rest of the people on the show. And this has been so interesting. And we're going to do it again. Tell the Ho brothers I said hello. Tell the Titans I said the best of luck to all of it, and we'll be together real soon. And just mute yourself out. You'll hear the last 7 minutes with us, okay?
All right. Like I say, we can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Sly Sylvester out there with Bat Tactical. Robert, are you out there in Pennsylvania? Guess we lost Robert, huh, from Pennsylvania. That's okay. No problem. Bruce, are you there? Montana?
Yeah. I'm here, Tom.
Oh, you're there? You're there, Robert?
Yeah, I heard you, but I had to find the unmute button, so I'm back online.
Okay, thanks. By the way, what did you think of these guys tonight?
They're fascinating, if you want my own opinion.
Especially you, being a petty officer for 20 years, yeah. Yeah. Kind of an amazing story, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because being a cook, you don't really get into firearms. You get into small arms, because everybody has to be qualified in small arms. But never the M16 or anything, but I qualified overseas during the Gulf War with the M16 machine gun.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was during the Gulf War. And but going into artillery and that, no. I also worked with the gun mounts, 16-inch 50s. And let me tell you, those are big bang babies, let me tell you. But other than that, that's all I really know about guns. I never liked hunting of any kind. I never did. I don't even hunt today. But I know a lot of people do, and I know they're very safe about it. But I know when not to be in the woods, you know. But, I thought it was a very interesting show. It was something different. I learned a little bit about everybody. And I thank you very much.
All right. Well, listen, I just wanted to get your input on there. How's the weather been up there in PA?
Well, it's been raining quite a bit the past couple of days. And we've been having frost overnight. Other than that, the days go up to be at least 45 now.
During the day, huh?
Yes. Correct, but then after the sun goes down, it goes down to like the low
30s. Yeah. Well, listen, it's due, right?
it's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's a fact, Jack. I totally understand. All right, buddy, I want to get to. I don't know if Chris is. Chris, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you been, son?
What's going on, my brother? How do you like that weather event?
I know that, Rick. Yeah. Did you hear the show tonight?
Yeah, really fantastic guest. Really
what was your best part? What part did you like the best?
The free thing was great. You know, hearing about those armored vehicles, hearing about those giants.
You're fading in and out for some reason. Are you in a location that's bad?
You know, is that bad? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but you're in and out, like in an echo chamber.
Interesting. Let me see here.
Now you're okay. You're okay now.
Okay. Yeah, I know those armored vehicles. I'd really like to check out that website and see the stuff that you guys done. Really amazing stuff. You know, the giant hogs, man. We all know the subject. That we study and we research and that giant hog phenomenon, that's a whole other too. I mean, that's just one of the last things I want to run into when I'm out there in the field, you know, going on the scale.
I know. But guess what? You're real close to Livermore and you're part of my team, so you're going out with us.
Let's do it. Let's get out there and do it. And it's a lot of bacon. I can use some of that in the kitchen.
I get you. Listen, I can't wait to get down to see Angelo for many reasons. We go back for almost a quarter of a century, and I got so much respect for him. But at the same point in time, I'm going to get in pictures and things of that of those vehicles, just like you said. You'd love to see them. But being up front and close and seeing this stuff, it just blows me away. I didn't know that the clock on the wall was saying, hey, Tom, you got only 2 minutes, and we haven't gotten to talk to Bruce out there in Montana. So, Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm so sorry, Bruce. Did you enjoy yourself tonight?
Oh, immensely. Yeah, everything was so informative.
And that's the key, and that's what everybody was saying on the internet that were calling in. I mean, I got them from Germany. I got them from South America. I got him from Italy. I got him from London. I got him from Scotland. And they're all wanting to know about the armored vehicles and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I never thought about it until I put them together and I said, wow, this is such a bingo. And it really is, because with all these trying times that everybody's going through today, this is it. This is what's going to make it happen. So,
yeah.
Without any doubt, we got a minute left. Can you take the show out and pray for all of our people around the globe?
Okay. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for knowing all things and hearing our prayers. Father, we ask you blessing over Angelo's business and the other guy
Sylvester.
Sylvester, Father. We ask you to bless them and whatever they're doing, Father. Raise it up, Father. Let it go around the world. Let them succeed in all the areas, Father. And Father, we ask blessing over our brothers and sisters on the Bigfoot team, Father, and those around the world that need your help, Father. We know that you know all things. Everything's going in your direction, Father, and we thank you and we praise you. And Father, just watch over us and keep us all safe this evening and rest of the days, Father, and we'll give you thanks and praise for everything in Jesus' name. We ask this. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our prayer warrior, the Blackfeet Indians up in Montana. Bruce, we love you. And all of our other guests, of course, my co-host, Swede, where would we be without you? And one in PA, Robert, how are you? And all the other people up with us here tonight, especially our guests. It was a great chock full of fun tonight, and I'm going to call my boys. God bless you. Till next time, America, kudos.
Once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.